Good morning again. This morning we have a guest speaker that is blessing us with some of his story this morning, and so I have the pleasure of introducing Bob and Karen Thorne. If you want to come up, Bob. Bob has been with us a number of times already, and so we're thankful to have you back.
Thank you.
Can I pray with you before we go? Heavenly Father, we thank you for Bob and Karen and just the ministry that they've had overseas and trying to share your gospel with those that are unreached around the world. And Lord, would you just your spirit and anointing be on Bob and Karen as they come up here to share this morning, and bless us with a message from you. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Thanks, brother. Well, it is good to be back again with you. I think it's been 2 years since we were here the last time. For those who don't know us, Karen and I we served for 14 years in Penang, Malaysia, in Southeast Asia, and had a wonderful time there, pastoring an international church, as well as beginning a ministry to an unreached people group called the Rohingya. If you don't know about them, take some time to do some research. According to the UN, I don't know if it's still the case, but a number of years ago, they were the most persecuted people group in the world, and we just had a wonderful time in Malaysia working with the Rohingya. And then 3 years ago, God called us from a beautiful tropical island in Malaysia to the capital city of India, New Delhi, population about 35 to 40 million, depending on who you listen to, and I'll talk a little bit about that a little later. According to the latest available estimates, there were 280.6 million global migrants in the year 2020, representing close to 4% of the world's 7.8 billion people. To put this in perspective, if migrants formed their own country, it would have been the fourth most populous country in the world in 2020 after China, India, and the United States. People have always moved in search of better livelihood opportunities for themselves, a safer and more prosperous life for their children, or protection from conflicts, persecution, or the effects of natural disasters. We are seeing in the world today a mass movement of people, and it isn't anything new, but the number of people who are moving is growing. Human migration is a major global reality today, and everyone in the world is affected in one way or another. More people now live in a place other than where they were born than at any time in recorded history. How many of you were born in Rocky Mountain House? Okay, maybe 8, 10% of the people who are there. How many of you were born in Canada? Okay. A much greater number. How many of you are born outside of Canada? Okay? More people here this morning were born outside of Canada than were born in Rocky Mountain House. People are moving all over the world. This issue is very challenging, not just in Canada, but around the world. I want you to look at this map. Now, I know it's way too small for you to see. I just wanted you to have something to look at. You can't really see what it's trying to tell us, but what it is showing, all of those circles show the number of people in those countries that were not born in those countries. It's almost impossible to have up-to-date data because people are always on the move. This next slide, again, you can't really see it too well, but it shows us that there were 304 million migrants in 2024. The column on the left shows where most of the migrants come from. And the bottom graph shows us the percentage of population of a country that is made up of migrants. And we can see that Canada's population in 2024 was made up of 22.2% of migrant people. And that number continues to grow. It's important for us, church, to understand that migration is nothing new. Throughout the pages of Scripture, we see the movement of people. In the next 15 minutes or so, I'm going to walk you from Genesis to Revelation and show you through all Scripture how people were on the move. In Genesis 3, verse 23, after sin entered the world, Adam and Eve are forced to leave the Garden of Eden. They were on the move. Genesis 4, 12 through 16 tells us of Cain wandering in a place that was not his home. Noah ended up far from his hometown after the flood. In Genesis 11, we see the scattering of people from the Tower of Babel all over the place. Genesis 12 shows us God's call on Abraham to leave his country for a lifetime of wandering across the Middle East. Abraham sends his servant to look for a bride for his son Isaac from his own people in Genesis 24. A conflict over the family inheritance caused Jacob to run away to his family's homeland, where he got married and later runs away from his father-in-law back to Canaan in Genesis 31. Joseph is sold into slavery by his brothers to Midianite merchants who took him to Egypt, where after some very challenging years, he becomes the second most powerful man in the world. Later, when famine broke out, the rest of his family come to Egypt for grain, eventually relocating the whole family to a country that was not their own. That's all just in the first book of the Bible. Genesis shows us so many different people who are on the move. And then we come to the book of Exodus. A massive movement of people escaping slavery in Egypt to travel to the long-awaited promised land. We know from Scripture that the history of Israel in the Old Testament includes cycles of obedience and disobedience. We see disobedience and rebellion in Joshua and Judges, resulting in forced migration to Assyria in 2 Kings 17, and exile to Babylon in 2 Kings 25, as well as Yahweh bringing migrants back to their homeland in Ezra and Nehemiah. The prophet Jeremiah told the Israelites to seek the welfare of their host nation and care for the foreigners among them. Jeremiah 29, 4 through 9. The book of Esther tells the story of Jews living in the Persian Empire, while the book of Daniel tells us about the experience of Jews living in a foreign land and the efforts to try and keep their cultural identity as well as their faith intact. Jonah is called to preach against the wickedness of Nineveh, which is modern-day Iraq, but goes in the opposite direction of Tarshish, towards Tarshish, modern-day Spain, only to end up in the belly of a fish, sent back to God's mission for his life. The prophetic books in the Old Testament talk about the reasons behind the exile and offer hope of restoration, reconciliation, and salvation for the world. Many of the characters of the Old Testament, Adam, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Jacob, Joseph, Ruth, David, Jeremiah, Daniel, Esther, Nehemiah, Ezra, and many others are shown to be displaced people in one way or another. Most of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, are written by Moses, who was a fourth generation Hebrew adopted into the Egyptian royal family. He grew up and was trained in Egypt. Throughout his life, he struggled with his identity. Who am I really? And then he married the daughter of a heathen priest in Midian. He wandered most of his life in the wilderness of Sinai and was uniquely qualified to stand before Pharaoh and lead God's chosen people out of their bondage in Egypt to the promised land. The history of Israel, the forming of the nation, It's calling to be a light to the nations. Its division, its eventual forced exile to Babylon and return are all shown in the context of movements of people across land and cultures. And then we get to the New Testament, and we see that Jesus was a man on the move. In the incarnation, he moved from heaven to earth, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Shortly after his birth, he became a refugee and was taken to Egypt by his parents when his life was at risk and many of his generation were killed by King Herod. Jesus was constantly on the move during his earthly life. We read in Matthew 8, verse 20, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. The birth of the church in the book of Acts and the New Testament letters are all written from different places. The whole Bible needs to be seen in the context of people being on the move. Much of God's story in the Bible shows people being away from their homeland, searching for belonging, building a community of faith, and being on mission with God in the world. The disciples were also on the move. Mark 16, verse 20 tells us, and they went out and they preached everywhere. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. They were committed to be witnesses all over the place to people from everywhere. At the birth of the church in Jerusalem, the Passover festival brought together Jews and converts to Judaism from many different places, and we read about that in Acts chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. The entire book of Acts shows us many geographical details and the significant role the diaspora, the scattered people, played in the spread of Christianity. Paul's letters were written during his travels. He was a Jew born in Tarsus, or modern-day Turkey, a Roman citizen, educated under the leading Jewish scholar in Jerusalem, and he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, taught at a church in Syrian Antioch, which sent him on many missionary journeys in the region. And eventually, he died for his faith in Rome. Paul ministered to many different people, both Jews and Gentiles. The letter of Peter is written to the diaspora in northern Asia Minor, 1 Peter 1, verse 3. It specifically addresses issues of suffering and hope arising out of Roman rule and persecution. The letter of James is addressed to Jews scattered among the nations, James 1, verse 1. It emphasizes that genuine faith should accompany good works and is relevant in the context of poverty, persecution, and extreme marginalization. Even the final book of Revelation was written while John was exiled to the Roman penal colony of the island of Patmos. Its message encourages the church to resist demands of emperor worship and to stand firm for Jesus, even to the point of death. Revelation 7 verse 9 says, after this I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. The idea of heavenly citizenship tells us that we are not fully at home in this world. And because we are in Christ, we have a new identity, and our allegiance is to King Jesus and to his kingdom. Living life and walking with Jesus in this world is challenging. There are tensions everywhere, but we are to live our lives under the rule and reign of King Jesus. This constant movement of people is essential for us to understand as we look at God's word and his mission to the nations. We see God's heart for the displaced, for the refugee, for the immigrant, for the marginalized diaspora, and we need to understand the responsibility as his church to care for the foreigners among us. God is always on the move in and through his people from all over the world. Christian faith moves because Christianity is essentially a missionary faith. My friend T.V. Thomas said this, "The Bible is a missionary book featuring a missionary God whose will and purpose is to call and create a missionary people. The missionary theme ties every Bible book, theme, and motive from beginning to end together. God is the primary missionary. Mission originates in the very character of the living God. God is personal. He is a seeker of lost humanity. He's a sufferer whose eyes see, ears hear, hands feel. If mission is part of the nature of God, then to commit to God means to become a missionary. Mission is not a human invention. So when we think in terms of what our mission is as his church, the first question we need to ask, well, how did God do it? And the best answer to this question is found in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. God became a human being and brought the message and ministry of God's love to all creation. Jesus was humble, not regarding equality with God something to be grasped, according to Philippians 2. God has given Jesus the name that is above every name. God has ordained that one day his Son will be universally recognized as the Lord of heaven and earth. Many people didn't recognize who he was when he walked this earth. People today still don't know who he is, but a day is coming when that will change forever. When that day finally arrives, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. All creation will physically bow before the Son of God and acknowledge his lordship. This will include all creatures in heaven and on earth and under the earth. That will include angels. It will include the saints in heaven. It will include those every human being living on earth, and the dead, and the demons, and Satan himself under the earth. No one will be left out. All will be included in the universal declaration that Jesus Christ is Lord. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Jesus Christ is Lord. God is on the move in the person of Jesus Christ and through his Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, mission-focused church. For the last 17 years, as I mentioned, Karen and I have had the privilege of loving and serving people who are on the move. We've been serving in international churches in Penang, Malaysia, and in New Delhi, India. In New Delhi, our church had people represented from between 35 and 40 different nations who would gather together for worship every Sunday. I can tell you, Delhi is not a tourist destination. How can I say it in the nicest way possible? It's loud. It's chaotic. It's polluted. And the pollution is one of the reasons why we've had to come back to Canada. This morning, we live in Cochrane right now, and I checked the AQI. Do everybody know what AQI stands for? Air Quality Index. Okay, in Cochrane this morning, there was a warning that it was 162 this morning, and the warning was there. In Delhi, in November, December, and January, it's up over 800 and 900. You can't see across the road. You have to wear a mask wherever you go. And because Karen has respiratory issues and asthma, our doctor said it's probably time for you to leave. We didn't enjoy living there, but what God did in people's lives when we were there, my goodness. to be part of God's mission there was a joy in so many different ways. Now, for us, our lives are changing. We have moved back to Cochrane 3 months ago. We are not going back overseas. We both have aging parents. Some of you look at me and say, "You have an aging parent. You're pretty old yourself." I'm getting there, but not too bad yet. But we came back 3 months ago from India. Didn't know what was next, but God has made very clear I'm going to become the missions pastor at Southview Alliance Church in Calgary. And so we put our house up for sale on Thursday, and it sold on Friday. And we're going to look for a house on Tuesday because we'll be homeless as of the 24th of this month. And we're supposed to be going to London, Ontario to see our son, daughter-in-law, and two grandsons. So we have a busy few weeks ahead of us. But, you know, there is nothing better than walking with Jesus. Nothing better than giving your life, say, "Jesus, I'm yours. And I'll follow you wherever you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say." And so, Karen and I just want to say thank you to this church for your partnership in the gospel, for your giving to the Global Advance Fund that allows people like us to be overseas to do what God has called us to do. Thank you for your prayers. I know there are a few in this church who have been following us for 5 or 6 years. And so thank you. May this church continue to have a heart for the nations. May this church continue to love their community well and walk closely with Jesus. Let's pray. Father, you're good. And we are so thankful that you can use ordinary people like us to build your kingdom. We are so, so thankful. I pray that this church would continue to be a shining light in this community. I pray, Father, that you would raise up the right person to be the pastor of this church again in your time. Would you raise that person up? Would you be preparing them even today to come and to continue the work that you have called this church family to? Lord, we are so grateful for your love and your faithfulness. We love you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.